Hello, this is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from a Revelation Timeline Decoded YouTube video series that I made in 2021. The videos were very low tech, mostly me reading what's on the screen, so you're not missing much in the audio version. The Revelation Layers chart and summary PDFs that I refer to in the videos can be found at www.revelationtimelinedecoded.com. Enjoy the lesson. Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this video, I'm going to talk about the fourth and fifth vial judgments of Revelation 16. To recap, the vial judgments are coming against the Catholics who revered, mark on the forehead, and obeyed, mark on the right hand, their actions, the Antichrist beast Pope, in killing the Protestants. But there is a subplot in that these countries had kicked the Jesuits out so that the Society of Satan in Rome was seeking revenge. But ultimately, their evil ways are used by Yah, the Heavenly Father, to carry out His righteous judgment. The first vial judgment was the outbreak of social upheaval and atheism in France, which set the stage for the revolution. The second vial judgment was fulfilled by the French Revolution in the great cities of France and naval defeats where saints had been killed. The third vial judgment of the French Revolution spread out to the areas of the rivers where the saints had been killed. Those with the mark of the beast faced the same fate as had the Protestants, whom they had killed, in the same places of the big cities and the rural areas of the rivers. This leads us to the fourth vial judgment, as the punishment spread to the other countries that had persecuted the saints. Revelation 16:8-9 says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory." The People's New Testament by Barton Johnson in the 19th century says, "Since these vials of the wrath of God are poured into the earth, the sun must be used as a symbol. It is a symbol of a supreme leader, a ruler or king. Anyone who becomes a great light and occupies a preeminent position may be indicated by this symbol. The Savior is described as the Son of Righteousness in Malachi 4:2. As you've seen in the apocalyptic vision, the sun symbolically represents a primary ruling leader. Fire, the instrument of bitter pain, is a symbol of suffering. Therefore, it is evident that the ruler, symbolized by the sun, shall be the means of inflicting great suffering upon men." The fourth bowl is pointing to Napoleon Bonaparte, who had seized power after the French Revolution. From 1796 to 1815, Napoleon and his armies, referred to by historians as the Scourge of Europe, scorched the European continent, causing much bloodshed in the places where they had shed the saints' blood. In Notes on the Handbook of Revelation by Albert Barnes, he says, "A revolution in France is sooner or later followed by a revolution in Europe." In the book A Vision of the Ages, Barton Johnson says, "He converted Europe into a great camp, and every nation was blackened and torn with wars. In his wars, it is estimated that 2 million men perished by the sword, and none can tell of the want and misery and despair that brooded over the bleeding and desolated lands that were tracked by his armies." Dr. Alexander Keith, a historian and Church of Scotland minister known for his biblical prophecy writing in the 19th century, said, "Napoleon performed the miracles of genius. His achievements still dazzle while they amaze the world. Within the space of 8 years, he scorched every kingdom in Europe, from Naples to Berlin, from Lisbon to Moscow. Ancient kingdoms withered before the intense blaze of his power. Kingdoms were unsparingly rift like garments. Like the sun, there was nothing hid from his great heat." In the book History Unveiling Prophecy, Henry Grattan Guinness said, "The overthrow of Roman Catholic governments and enormous destruction of life connected with the wars of Napoleon. With the rise of Napoleon, the French Revolution took a new character and became the scourge of Europe. The armies of France were now led on an unparalleled career of conquest by that man who was the most gigantic manifestation of mental power and despotic will the world had ever seen. Arrogant, unscrupulous, selfish, remorseless, ambitious, self-reliant, with indomitable vigor, unwearying energy, marvelous military genius, surpassing administrative ability, uniting a lofty, comprehensive intellect with utter disregard for moral considerations. Napoleon sacrificed the millions of lives, overturned the throne of Europe, revived the empire of Charlemagne, and strove to obtain monarchy of the world. Like the sun, there was nothing hid from his great heat, and the exercise of his power was the misery of millions. The Catholic nations, which had warred for centuries against the Reformed faith, were successively crushed under the feet of this ruthless despot. Thrones overturned, crowns trampled in the dust, armies scattered, cities pillaged, provinces wasted with war and reduced to desolation. Spain, which had crushed the Reformation within her own borders and in other lands by the horrors of the Inquisition, was delivered over to the dreadful bloodshed and miseries of the 7 years' Peninsular War. The Inquisition suppressed and a revolutionary spirit awakened, which has made the country since the theater of endless strife, disaster, and decay. It was as if the sun were smitten in the heavens, and power was given to scorch men with fire. Europe seemed to be on fire with musketry and artillery, and presented almost an appearance of the broad blaze of a battlefield. The number that perished was immense. The wars were attended with the usual consequences, blasphemy, profaneness, and reproaches of God in every form. But the Pope did not repent. He did not acknowledge Elohim's righteous judgment against the Church of Rome. The first four bold judgments are against Catholics who had the mark of the beast, as they revered and obeyed the Antichrist beast Pope's command to kill the saints. The driving force was the Jesuits' revenge against countries that had kicked them out, but Yah the Heavenly Father used them to pour out his wrath on the people who had killed the saints. In the book Codeword Babylon, P.D. Stewart says, in the raising up of their great avenger Napoleon Bonaparte, whose Catholic advisor was the Jesuit-trained cleric, Father Abbe Emmanuel Joseph Says, Father Says was the second consul in the Napoleonic regime, and according to Robertson, Says was also a French Illuminati, a disciple of Jacobinism. It was the hidden hand of the Jesuits through their Illuminati disciple, the so-called ex-Jesuit Adam Weishaupt, that devised, used, and funded Jacobinism to instigate the French Revolution and the carnage that followed. Speaking of this period of upheaval and revolution, Prince de Ligne wrote to Madame de Choisy, if the Jesuits had not been expelled, we would not be seeing this accursed spirit or turbulence spreading like a torrent that threatens all the thrones of Europe. Reverend James McCaffrey, of the Society of Jesus, all but admits that it was the Jesuits who fomented the volatile and unruly elements which later erupted into the revolutions that swept away the monarchies of France and those nations that had called for the suppression. In a few years, wrote McCaffrey, the revolution was in full swing. The thrones of France, Spain, Portugal, and Naples were overturned, and those members of the royal families who escaped the scaffold or the dungeon were themselves driven to seek refuge in foreign lands, as the Jesuits had been driven in the days of Clement XIV. So we see the dual narrative of Yah the Heavenly Father pouring out his judgment against Catholics who had revered and obeyed the Antichrist beast popes, and we see the narrative of the Society of Jesus getting vengeance against countries who had kicked them out. In the book, A Dissertation on Prophecies in the 19th Century, George Stanley Faber says, in the language of symbols, the son of a kingdom is the government of that kingdom, and the son of an empire, if it be a divided empire, is the government of the most powerful state within the empire. When the political sun shines with a steady luster and yields a salutary warmth, it is a blessing to the people. But when it glares with a fierce and unnatural heat, scorching all the productions of human industry with the intolerable blaze of a portentous tyranny, it is the heaviest curse which can befall a nation. The present popish states were France, Austria, Spain, Portugal, Naples, Sardinia, and Etruria. Of these, France is by many degrees the most powerful, and consequently, that its government must inevitably be esteemed the sun of the system. To observe, then, the accurate completion of the prophecy of the fourth vial, in which it is said that power was given to the sun to scorch men with fire, and that they were scorched with great heat, we have only to cast our eyes over the continent. A system of tyranny, hitherto unknown in Europe except in the world periods of the Roman history, has been established and is now acted upon by him who styles himself Emperor of the French, and the scorching rays of military despotism are at this moment felt more or less throughout France, Holland, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, and the west of Germany. Now let's focus on the fifth vial judgment. Revelation 16:10-11 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The previous bold judgments were against Catholic countries who revered and obeyed the Antichrist beast Pope in killing the saints. And now the judgment is aimed directly at the office of the papacy, as the seat of the beast points to his stately seat, his civil authority. The People's New Testament by Barton Johnson says, by the throne of the beast must be meant the seat of his power. There are few students of the Bible, whether Catholic or Protestant, who deny that Italy and Rome are the throne of the great world power of which the seven-headed beast is the symbol. Then the scene of the calamities of the fifth vial will be Italy and Rome. This has been the seat of the beast for 1,300 years. In the very seat of his power, the beast will receive a blow that will fill his kingdom with darkness, and those who worship him with anguish. When Yah the Heavenly Father desires to carry out judgment against an apostate people, He uses pagan armies to carry out his justice. In the bold judgment, he is using the Society of Jesus. The Jesuit Superior General is taking control of the Vatican, as Yah uses his zeal to end the Pope's 1260-year reign of power, which started in 538 and ended in 1798. So I just want to emphasize the dual stories here, because though we look at the evil deeds of the Society of Jesus, they are ultimately being used by Yah to fulfill prophecy in his perfect timing. What the Society of Jesus intends for their evil purposes is used by Yah to carry out his righteous judgments. So keep this in mind as we watch events take place in these end times. Our Heavenly Father is always in control, and He can protect us against the enemy. It's interesting that Napoleon Bonaparte told us exactly who the Jesuits are. He said the Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order. Their chief is a general of an army, not the mere father abbot of a monastery. And the aim of this organization is power. Power in its most despotic exercise. Absolute power, universal power, power to control the world by the volition of a single man, the office of the Superior General of the Jesuits. Jesuitism is the most absolute of despotisms, and at the same time, the greatest and most enormous of abuses. Their society is by nature dictatorial, and therefore it is the irreconcilable enemy of all constituted authority. Every act, every crime, however atrocious, is a meritorious work if committed for the interests of the Society of Jesus or by the order of the general. In Visions of the Ages, B.W. Johnson says, "This scorching sun, which parched, burnt, and blackened the earth, exerted most baleful influence on the power of the papacy." In 1796, Bonaparte entered Italy. In 1797, his armies entered the papal dominions, and a peace was made by which the Pope was not only shorn in half his provinces, but was compelled to buy off the invader with payment of large sums of money. The next year, 1798, the French armies entered Rome, tore the Pope from the Vatican, sent him a prisoner to France to die, and robbed Rome of its hoarded wealth. It was despoiled of its treasures of art, which were sent to Paris as legitimate spoils of war. In the book The Papal Drama, a historical essay in the 19th century, Thomas Hornblower Gill says, "French military office Berthier marched upon Rome, set up a Roman Republic, and laid hands upon the Pope. The sovereign pontiff was borne away to the camp of the infidels, from prison to prison, and finally carried captive into France. Here he breathed his last at Valence, in the land where his priest had been slain, where his power was broken, and his name and office were a mockery and a byword, and in keeping of the rude soldiers of the unbelieving commonwealth, which had for 10 years held to his lips a cup of such manifold and exceeding bitterness." At the end of the narrative of the Antichrist beast Pope-led sea beast phase of the Roman beast kingdom, it says in Revelation 9-10, "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Popes caused many saints to be taken into captivity, interrogated, tortured, and killed. Caused Catholics in countries like France to kill the Protestant saints, promising them forgiveness for their sins of murder. Now the Pope has been taken captive. The term "must be killed by the sword" isn't literal. It's pointing to the Pope's judicial punishment, taking him captive and removing him from civil authority. Arthur R. Pennington of the Historical Society says of this event, "On a sudden, the shouts of an angry multitude penetrated to the conclave, intermingled with the strokes of axes and hammers on the doors. Very soon a band of soldiers burst into the hall, who tore away from his finger his pontifical ring and hurried him off, prisoner, through a hall, the walls of which were adorned with a fresco representing the armed satellites of the papacy, on St. Bartholomew's Day." The 1990 Encyclopedia Britannica says the ultimate humiliation of the church came when Pius VI was driven out of Rome by the French armies in 1798, and in the following year was taken captive by them and dragged back to France, where he died. In the book The Visions of Daniel and of the Revelation Explained in 1918, E.B. Hachemel says, "The temporal dominion of the Rome papal has already been consumed. Not a nation in Europe remained under it, and men marveled that they had ever bowed beneath it. It is the estimation of many, its downfall is the severest blow that has fallen upon Rome for 1,000 years past. But the spiritual power of the papacy remains and will remain to the end. The Pope's kingdom was in darkness, and the papal states were repeatedly attacked, being absorbed by other people groups. The Pope's authority progressively disintegrated, while the gospel was preached throughout worldwide missions and Bible societies. In 1848, the people of Rome arose in rebellion against the papal authority and drove Pius IX into exile. A few months later, he was restored by a French army, and he stayed under the protection of French bayonets. The continuous loss of power of its once mighty papal empire caused the papacy to gnaw their tongues for pain, but no repentance was found. They continued to hurl their anathemas, but they had no power behind them. They continued to blaspheme by introducing new false doctrines. Paul the Apostle called the doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron." Popes issued ex cathedra declarations about the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary in 1854, that Mary was born without a sin nature, Syllabus of Errors in 1864, bodily assumption of the Virgin Mary up to heaven, like Messiah. In 1870, Pope Pius IX assembled the Vatican Council to declare the infallibility of the Pope. They set up mirrors in St. Peter's Square to reflect the sun towards the Pope, as to illuminate him. But a dark storm moved in, which darkened the scene and terrified them with lightning and thunder. Gotta love it. Interestingly, just as Emperor Justinian began the process of exalting the Pope's authority in 533, but it wasn't completed until 538, so too did the 1793 Declaration of France for the Abolition of Romanism begin the process of removing the Pope's authority, which took place in 1798. The result of the Fifth Bull Judgment is that the Antichrist Beast Pope was removed from power, ending their 1260-year reign of power, which took place from 538 to 1798. Revelation 13:14 points to the office of the papacy being wounded by the sword and did live, meaning the Pope was removed from power, but their office did not end, as it still exists to this day. So recall that the deadly head wound was to the office of the Western Roman Emperor, which ceased to exist in 476. So it's a deadly head wound because the office no longer exists. With the popes, he's wounded by the sword, but he did live. So he was removed from power, he was wounded by the sword, but the office still lives to this day. The popes took the emperor's place as the civil and ecclesiastic leader of the Roman Beast Kingdom. Now the office of the papacy has been removed from power, though the office lives on today. But it is the Black Pope, the false prophet Jesuit Superior General, who controls the Roman Beast Kingdom in the end times, and he uses the White Pope as the front man. The Black Pope exercises his control of the world in the background, pretending to be a priest of Messiah. So he's a fake priest, he's a false prophet. So he pretends to be a priest of Messiah like a lamb, but he's really serving Satan, the dragon. So on the Revelation timeline, we've seen how Messiah's apocalyptic vision describes these key historical figures. The Cretan Roman emperors, Emperor Constantine, Alaric and the Heruli, Genseric and the Vandals, Attila the Hun, Odoacer and the Heruli, the last Western Roman Emperor, Augustus Romulus, the Popes of Rome, Muhammad and the Muslim army, the Ottoman Empire, the last Eastern Roman Emperor, Constantine the 11th, Ignatius Loyola and the Society of Jesus, Martin Luther, the King of France and Marie Antoinette, and Napoleon Bonaparte. This all validates the authority of Scripture and the deity of Messiah. In the next video, I'll talk about the Earth Beast phase of the Roman Beast Kingdom. That's all. Thank you for listening to this Revelation Timeline Decoded audio. You can request a free copy of the Revelation Timeline Decoded summary PDF or order a printed copy of the book, which explains it in detail, at revelationtimelinedecoded.com. I love y'all. Shalom.